This is SB Nation Radio.
A new generation of sports radio.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
This is Nate in the Noise.
What I'm about to do, it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. It is a gut feeling.
Live from the Quicken Loans Studios in Denver, here's your host, Nate Lundy.
This cruise ship, the men's national team, the men's basketball team on, is just, it's insane. It's gorgeous. I need to take a vacation on it. Hey, it's Nate Lundy. Sean Drotar is with me as well. It's SB Nation Radio. Seriously, we need to grab some buddies and go on a cruise. That ship looks like a lot of fun.
I bet we can't afford that ship, though.
Man, I was all excited there for a minute. Like, for a minute.
Like, maybe we could bus tables on the ship. Then you could get on the
ship. Be a good way to live a cruise life like that.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about those people that backpack across Europe and they just do little odd jobs along the way to earn money to be able to get them to the next city. We could do that. We could stand on the street corner and pontificate about FIFA. And then people would give us money. And then we could move on to the next city and pontificate about like cricket.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand.
It's like round baseball.
So my sister lives in London, okay? And her...
You still don't know cricket?
And her boyfriend spent a considerable amount of time trying to explain at the end of last year, took a trip to Ireland, they joined us, and was trying to explain cricket to me. And no, I just couldn't get it. I really couldn't. I don't understand it.
In Ireland, they play hurling, which is crazy.
Hurling is what I would do if I were on the cruise ship for too long, over the side. Which might actually improve.
Do I get the assist on that?
That might actually improve the water quality.
Yeah, it might.
I'm not kidding. It might. That might actually make it better, depending upon what I'd eaten.
I am embarrassed. I mean, I absolutely love the Olympics. I love them, and I will make no attempt to apologize for it. I look forward to them all the time once they start.
I love the Olympics.
The Winter and Summer Olympics every 2 years.
Brilliant.
I thought it was great.
Brilliant move.
But the IOC, this has this incredible history of graft and corruption. The notion that the Olympics is this transformative event that will take cities that need help and turn them into something different. It's a myth. You end up with boondoggles and billions of dollars in unused stadiums that are crumbling.
Yes.
Sometimes before the time even people get to use them. Denver, where we're sitting, is the only city in history to turn down an Olympics. When Denver turned down the 1976 Winter Olympics, that would have been U.S.'s bicentennial, Colorado's centennial. Colorado still ended up turning down the Winter Olympics. At the time, it was considered to be a bad decision. Looking at all these cities ever since, it might have been one of the smartest things people have done with the Olympics in a long time, but it took 20 years for people to understand why.
Mm-hmm. And now you've seen it. And look, 3 weeks from now, we may look back and it may be a successful Olympic Games. No big deals, no big problems.
But the people in Brazil were paying for all of this, which is never going to get used again.
Big, giant stadiums. Empty. Swimming in sludge, which apparently will still continue to take place.
3 teaspoons, the science says. If you ingest 3 teaspoons, you are essentially assured to catch enough viruses to get you violently ill. Only the luck of the draw.
3 tablespoons of water?
Yeah.
That's
teaspoons.
It.
Teaspoons of
teaspoons
water.
Teaspoons of water?
Would it give you enough?
Teaspoons smaller, right?
It is.
Tablespoons the bigger
it's
one.
The bigger one.
And then the teaspoon is the smaller one.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're me, the tablespoon's the one you eat soup with, and the teaspoon's the one you hand out to friends. But that's me.
You're rude to your friends. You're giving them a smaller spoon for soup?
Well, you're supposed to have soup spoons, but I mean it.
Then you get the slurping sound.
That's
just
terrible.
I don't
know all those
things.
That's
not nice. That is not nice
at all.
That's
bad news. And that's the problem. I think the U.S. has been put in, a lot of countries have been put in a bad spot. You talked about Andrew Bogut of the Australian contingent, and they've been frustrated with the Olympic Village from day one, not just Bogut, but the Australian contingent there. And for good reason. I mean, this is a tough spot. If you're the United States, you are sending your athletes to Brazil, knowing that some of them are going to get very ill. And we're not even talking about the Zika fears, which can be very problematic for a lot of people, not only short-term but long-term. But just run-of-the-mill disease and illnesses and viruses that they can get, you're assuring people they're going to get sick. And at a certain point, whether it's the U.S. or somebody else, a big country is going to have to say, you know what? You have not adequately protected our athletes' help. We're not coming. And that's the only way this is going to change. But I don't know how you go ahead and do that and tell members of Team USA who spent their entire life for this moment that we have to make a stand to protect the next two or three generations of athletes. But that's where the Olympics have put themselves at this point.
Mm-hmm. Transitioning from Rio to the NFL, Sean, did you hear the interview, the clip with Michael and Martellus Bennett?
I have not. I haven't had a chance to see it. I heard of it. Hadn't seen it.
In a ESPN interview, man, you want to talk about, they did not hold back. Now, both of them are known for being outspoken.
Right.
Okay. Michael Bennett, the defensive end, said that Jay Cutler is the worst quarterback in the NFL. Okay. Martellus Bennett said, I'd be open and he'd throw into double coverage. Now, remember, Martellus Bennett is now with the Pats.
Yeah.
In New England. He is the second tight end now to go along with Rob Gronkowski. I'd be open, he'd throw into double coverage. When asked about Goodell, Michael Bennett replied, a-hole, although he said the whole word. And then he goes, nah, I'm just joking. You can't say that. Overpaid was what he said. No, you weren't joking. First of all, no, you weren't joking when you called him an a-hole. I'm sorry, but you weren't.
And it's not like someone can't be both.
What do you think about players that come out and do this and are that outspoken?
I appreciate it, but I fear for them at the same time, because there's always a backlash. You know, when you're working in a public type of business where it's all front facing, you're always concerned about how that's going to affect their career going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Some, depending on the coaches and the teams you play for, some of them, of course, are notoriously tight-lipped. They don't want anybody to talk. So, I mean, there's going to be a blowback for them at some point. And that's it's just part of the way the world works. I don't necessarily think they should be immune to it. Just because we have freedom of speech does not mean we have freedom of consequences from the speech we make.
Right.
But I appreciate the authenticity of it, because there are things that...
Because there's guys that are very outspoken, and yeah, there's guys that have made careers out. I mean, Richard Sherman has made his name as much, if not more, from running his mouth as he has from how he plays.
I think that's fair, yeah.
I mean, that's...
And
that's,
you've watched players like the one we saw retire here, and Peyton Manning, who was basically brilliant about never saying anything controversial and playing it straight down the middle so as not to offend any coaches, teammates, or even...
Well, Sean, I'm just happy to be here and yeah, to be playing and, you know, have a chance with Coach Kubiak and the Denver Broncos.
With the exception of the drunk idiot kicker comment.
Yeah. We're talking about our idiot kicker who got drunk. Yeah.
That's about the only time Peyton Manning ever slipped up.
And it was almost like it was him going on Saturday Night Live was like his pressure valve release. It was like, let me go there where I can have some fun. Since then, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, it's parody. It's satire. It's, you know, I can do whatever I want there. I can curse at children, which he's probably wanted to do on multiple occasions in his life. But now he can actually do it because he's on SNL. That was a brilliant move.
Well, and the beauty is, you know, we've been out there over the years with Manning and all this. No, nobody's referred to Peyton Manning say bad words.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Maybe we're not supposed to share that, but we have.
They all have.
Of course.
The coaches yesterday, the Broncos had a bad day at practice yesterday.
Yes.
Okay, oh, they had a day off on Tuesday, and they looked bad yesterday, all right? And the coaches were cussing yesterday.
To the point where, you know.
You can hear them. I mean,
it's not audible.
And that's not, I mean, look, I'm not, this isn't breaking news here. I mean, all coaches do it. But they were getting on him yesterday,
yeah,
and rightfully so, because they weren't practicing very well. That's what you, regardless of who your favorite team is, that's what you want from your coach. You want him to lay into him every now and then. You kind of need that little extra shove in the back from the coaches to make them focus a little bit harder. Speaking of focus, Our segment's brought to you by Mental Bright. If you want to improve your mental focus and concentration, Mental Bright's a brain supplement that can help. You can go to mentalbright.com if you want to learn more. That's mentalbright.com, B-R-I-G-H-T. 11 minutes after the hour with Sean Drotar, I'm Nate Lundy. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
17 after, SB Nation Radio. Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar sitting in as well as we roll through a Thursday with you, getting closer to the weekend. You're going to be watching the, we were talking about the Olympics, you're going to be watching the opening ceremonies tomorrow night?
Probably. I don't really care about it, but it's kind of something you can sit down with your family and look at the spectacle, I guess. But
are they going to get weird? Is it going to get weird?
They always get weird.
With kind of the artistic kind of just oddities that take place? I mean, like people out there in like weird colored suits with like paper mache birds on the ends of sticks.
Yeah, it's always weird.
And they're like dancing around and the... You know, the, like the Matt Lauers of the world are trying to explain to you what it represents.
Mrs. Tom Brady was going to be involved in a sketch that was apparently borderline.
Mrs. Tom Brady?
Yeah. Apparently going to be rather racially insensitive that it had to be pulled just a couple days from the...
Mrs. Tom Brady was doing something racially insensitive?
Was in part of a sketch for the opening ceremonies. That they rejiggered.
I'm so confused. They're doing sketches like SNL?
Well, like a little vignette, I guess, in the middle of these, you know, like your paper mache birds on sticks. But apparently it wasn't taken very well when they ran it past their test audience, and they'll remove it from the show.
So now we're running, now we've got a test audience like for the opening. We've got a test audience for the opening ceremony.
Actually, they usually do that. It's the government of the host country because they want to make sure it sends out the message they want to send. These are big borderline propaganda pieces for your country. People want to make sure that they have it the way they want to have it. It's not all weird for the sake of being weird.
If it gets weird,
postmodern.
If it gets weird, I'm going to have to watch like reruns of Friends or something instead.
It's going to get weird. It's the Olympics opening ceremonies.
Now it's on it at like 7:30 Eastern time. Tomorrow. So it's early. Like those of you on the West Coast, if you're, you know, like you're going to have to throw a like a opening ceremonies viewing party for happy hour at like Hooters. What do you want to do this afternoon, Bob? I'll tell you what. Let's go to Hooters. Watch the opening ceremonies. They do the parade with all the countries. I do somewhat enjoy that, especially for some of the countries where they have the person as the flag bearer is in like full regalia.
Yeah, I like that too.
There's like a headdress involved.
Like four people. They send four people there. I like that too.
Or when the coaches actually outnumber the like two athletes. There's like two athletes and nine coaches. And both athletes are like Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I enjoy that part of it. I enjoy the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I will watch. I tease it. I talk about the kind of the way that it tends to go down this weird artistic route.
And it does.
Or clearly somebody was on some sort of hallucinogen when they were coming up with the concepts. I'm sure you can't find any of those in South America. But they're on something that kind of makes you wig out a little bit, which then leads you to believe that, you know, you need to probably throw down a few pops before you actually sit down to watch it so that maybe some of it will make sense to you. I want to know why the story that Michael Phelps was going to carry the flag yesterday was a story.
Yeah, you know, it was only because swimmers in general often don't even take part in the parade of athletes because they don't want to be standing around that long with their events starting usually the next day.
Oh, my back's sore. Right.
Right. So that's a traditional sort of thing. That said, you're talking about Michael Phelps. He's got like 18 gold medals.
Yeah, he's got 22 medals total.
I think that's a no-brainer, right?
22 medals.
He's not doing another Olympics.
This is it, man. This is his fifth.
Do you notice he's also going to wear a jacket where the USA lights up on it? It's going to like light up and flash.
Oh, like the kind of thing that they try to sell you at Disneyland.
Yes.
Like right before the parade's going to start.
Yes. I'm sure that won't look tacky
like
at all.
Blinky hats and stuff like that. Really?
He's going to have a the USA on his jacket.
Is an ad going to run on NBC immediately following it for where I can order it?
Well, it's quite possible.
They should. They would sell a ton of those, especially in Birmingham and like Tuscaloosa and like Baton Rouge. Because you know you see those blinky ones, especially that say USA on them.
Yeah.
You see the women in the South will like wear those when they go grocery shopping. You see that a lot. They get like flashy outfits like that, and then you wear them to the store. You like go to Kroger in your USA blinky jacket.
You're not painting with a broad brush or anything.
That's no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Don't argue with the guy that's lived in the South, okay?
I'm not. I won't.
It's true.
You're making me think that I might
it's
not be
true.
Missing out on that much.
You also wind up, you run into, they're wearing their letter jacket still. Even though
like
it
high school?
Does not fit. Like, man, sorry, Steve, you put on some pounds. Some LBs have been racked up. You should not still be wearing that thing to like, the Florida like Georgia to the Florida Georgia
high
Line concert.
Letter jackets.
Yes.
When you're
man,
some distance beyond high school.
I'll tell you what. Hold on a minute. Hey, Nick. Nick.
Yes, sir.
You with me, brother? There he is. Nick's our producer. Nick, you've spent a lot of time in the South and in Texas. Am I wrong?
That's
you see
true.
Guys that are still in their high school letter jacket even though it doesn't fit?
I wouldn't do that. I've never seen anybody do that.
Oh, come on.
I've never seen it. How long after?
The ladies in jackets and things with bling, like that are battery powered, they flash. If Michael Phelps's jacket that he's wearing that the USA lights up were for sale, people would buy it.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's probably true.
They would buy it.
They probably would.
I know you wouldn't. I don't mean you would.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, spend some time in like, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina. You see that, man. Go spend some time out at the mall and you'll see that. I'm not making this stuff up.
I guess it'd be handy if you were, say, you know, riding a bicycle at night. Safety first.
Patriotic safety.
People will be able to pick you out, right? So there's
hey,
that.
Hey, what is that off in the distance? Is that a UFO? No, Steve's out for his nightly ride in his USA bling. They could sell these and make a fortune, I'm telling you right now.
I'm sort of embarrassed that the U.S. contingent is going to make Michael Phelps go out in a lighted blinking jacket.
Maybe he likes it. Maybe it makes him happy.
I don't care if it makes him happy. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
He's going to wear it on Friday, and on Saturday, we're going to get TMZ video of Britney Spears at a strip mall wearing one.
Now, that is possible. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that belongs in Vegas, right?
Yep.
I've seen that kind of stuff in Vegas.
Sure you have.
Oh, yeah.
And you've also seen it at... look, I'll just leave it at that, all right? Because as you said, I'm painting with a broad brush. I've now offended like 9 states in the union. I could probably let it go now.
Oh, it's, you know, it's just the SEC. It's not like, you know, they pay attention to anything sports related.
The SEC doesn't. The SEC is so dialed in on their teams, they're not paying attention to anything else that's going on.
Then get the USA jacket down in the Tuscaloosa and then just, you know, put duct tape over the U and S and pretend it's a new Bama jacket.
If Nick Saban announced that he was watching the opening ceremonies, the ratings would go up. In that entire region. Wait, Nick said we got to watch it. Get some popcorn. We got to see what's going on in the opening ceremonies. 26 after SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
32 after the hour, SB Nation Radio, Nate Lundy, Chandra Otar here as well. Rolling through a Thursday with you, trying to inch you closer to happy hour. You know, for a while I was trying to get you closer to the weekend. Now I've decided, no, we're just trying to get you closer to Thursday happy hour. Sometimes you gotta set your goals and you gotta do them in little bite-sized chunks. So instead of trying to get you to the weekend, let's just get to happy hour.
Baby steps. Just one foot in front of the other.
Is that we'll would that there. Be okay?
I think so.
You know, so baby steps. Like we'll do the pony keg before we tap the full thing. That's all I'm saying. Part of the SB Nation covering the Dolphins. It's the Finsiders, which is PH, by the way. See what Kevin did there? Kevin Nogle is the managing editor of the Finsiders. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on, and happy hour sounds great.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Like right now, it sounds good. Speaking of happy hour, were you able to, when he was down there a couple days, were you able to convince Peyton Manning to go grab a cold one with you after practice?
Oh, it would have so been nice. Oh, it was great seeing him out there. There's a lot of discussion about how much he can actually impart. He's been in around the team a few times this year. Reports have three sources say a little bit more than that. But he's been around the team, and hopefully at the end of the day, even if it's just sitting with Ryan Tannehill and saying, hey, this is how Adam Gase thinks, I think it's making a huge progress.
One of the bigger stories, of course, was in the draft was the drop of Laremy Tunsil after some of just an amazing draft day that we don't even have time to recap, but remarkable for a guy that was originally considered to maybe be the best player in the draft, dropping all the way to the 13 to the Dolphins. How has he looked, and how is the sort of reconstruction of his image going down in Miami?
I think his image is pretty much okay at the end of the day, and with the way U.S. culture is moving when it comes to marijuana type of stories, I think it just quickly kind of went away, and it's a side note to us at this point. But on the field, he's having rookie struggles. He's an offensive lineman trying to transition to a professional speed, and he's going up every day against Cameron Wake, Mario Williams, and Ndamukong Suh. So he's going up against three Pro Bowlers every day, and he's struggling at times. He's also trying to move inside to left guard instead of playing left tackle. We're seeing him second-team left tackle, second-team left guard right now. He's not getting all kinds of first-team reps yet, but I think that that's a deliberate development process from Adam Gase and the coaching staff to try to get him used to playing left guard, used to maybe the second team a little bit, and then start putting him in at the first team.
Do you expect to start him in week one, or would that be a disappointment for the Dolphins if he is not in that starting offensive line?
I think it's probably a disappointment in the terms of the hype that everybody expects from him, but looking at how he's progressing, it might be the smarter decision coaching-wise if he does not get up to that level. I'm really worried because Dallas Thomas right now is taking those number ones reps, and we've seen him. We know what he is as a starter, and he's not the player we want there. We want Laremy Tunsil in that spot. At the end of the day, maybe it's better to slow Laremy Tunsil down a little bit, but I believe by the week one, he's the starting left guard.
Kevin Nogle with us from the Finsiders.com, looking at the Dolphins, part of the SB Nation. He's the managing editor there. As we look, Kevin, at the running back position on this team, the Dolphins decided not to try to overpay in free agency. They had some ideas on where they want to go. Then we see Arian Foster jump in. Sort out the backfield for us.
I wish I could. Jay Ajayi still looks like he's going to be the starter. He's missed the last couple of days because of a bone bruise to his knee. It's not the knee that caused all the problems coming out of college. So there's not a lot of concern there. It's just a matter of he needs to get back, get into the practice field, get reps in his first year as a starter and in the new Adam Gase offense. So there's some concern there. Arian Foster has looked good, but they're also going slow with him because they're concerned about the Achilles tendon. So those two are going to be the top two. A lot of hope that Kenyon Drake will come on and start getting some reps and start getting some experience as a rookie. Right now, it doesn't look like he's probably the number three guy. It looks like he's a little bit further down. Isaiah Pede and Daniel Thomas are probably fighting for that number three, number four slot right now. No clear winner there. And then the guy that everybody is kind of concerned about right now is Damian Williams. He started the season on the PUP list. He didn't pass the conditioning test. Apparently he had something wrong with his hamstring. He's a guy that everybody thought would be that number three running back, guy that has a lot of blocking ability, a lot of pass-catching ability, and he has not progressed this year. This is only his second day of practice, so maybe we will start to see that come out of him. But right now, it's a lot of concern, there's not a lot of depth there, and that is one of the positions we're going to watch all training camp.
Dolphins, of course, 6-10 last year, last place in the AFC East. They'd like to get that a little bit better, but let's fast forward a month. Now, you're looking at a September schedule for the Dolphins that starts with Seattle, New England, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. Cleveland, I guess, maybe sort of the soft, mushy part of that Oreo of a schedule on September, but how important is it for the Dolphins to get off to a good start? Can they start 1-3 through September and still expect to have a season any better than they did last year?
I think the goal obviously is probably 3-1. I think realistically you're looking at probably about 2-2. If they're 1-3, you're going to hear a lot of complaints, but I think people will also caveat that with, look at how brutal that start is. After they come out of that first month of the season, they go into, I think it's 5 weeks of 4 home games, something like that. I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head because the bye week is in there also, so it gets a little weird. But they do have a absolute killer start to the season at Seattle. They're at New England in there. They have the bonus of Cleveland. So, like you said, it's a little bit of a cushy game there. Maybe the no Tom Brady makes the Patriots a little bit vulnerable. So you have a little bit of play in there, but it is absolutely a brutal start.
Kevin Nogle with us from thefinsiders.com. Kevin, got about 60 seconds left. You wrote about this about a month ago. Is the wide receiving core of the Dolphins better, the same, or worse than last year?
My thought a month ago was better. My concern right now is they are young, and they're playing like they're young. Devontae Parker is a little bit banged up already, and you're waiting to see him come back out as the player that ended last year. So they're probably a little bit better, but that's not a definite head and shoulders above last year.
Kevin Nogle, Finsiders.com. He's the managing editor there, part of SB Nation, covering the Miami Dolphins. Kevin, we'll see you in a few for happy hour, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Kevin joining us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click today and find out if you could save. Jarvis Landry's fantastic, Sean. The problem is, as he said, they're young other than that at the wide receiver position, which means, you know, as you're looking at Ryan Tannehill's growth and things like that, you don't necessarily have the cushion around him of a really good receiving core.
Yeah, that's a concern. And a running game, you know, you're talking about some interesting parts and pieces that he discussed, but you're also talking about guys with some lengthy injury histories. There's concern there. And Ryan Tannehill's growth as a result has kind of stalled.
Why Adam Gase is there.
Right. And we've seen what he's done. He's a bit of a quarterback whisperer kind of guy. So
yeah,
they hope that that'll turn around pretty
quickly. We're familiar with Adam because we sit here in Denver when he was the quarterback's coach, then ultimately the offensive coordinator. And he's had to deal with Tebow. He's worked with Peyton Manning. This is a guy who's worked with a lot of different quarterbacks, and I think that's why he's there. I think that was if there were other coaches being interviewed, and there certainly were for the Miami Dolphins head coaching position, Adam Gase's tiebreaker vote, if you will, is that the Dolphins have a lot invested in Ryan Tannehill and they want to see him get better. So let's go get somebody not who's defensive minded. Let's go get somebody who can help us build a real franchise quarterback. 42 minutes after the hour, alongside Sean Drotar, my name is Nate Lundy. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
Rolling up top of the hour. Mighty Gwynn will take over here, SB Nation Radio. All right, Sean, I'm going to give you the bottom third defensively of the NFL last year. All right?
Okay.
Bottom third. This is in points allowed. Because at the end of the day, that's the stat that matters, right? You can give up a lot of yards, but if you've got the kind of defense that's stout in the red zone and holds teams to field goals, if you're swapping touchdowns for field goals, last time I checked, I'm no math major, but that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, while I think you can dive into things like the yards you allow per play or the yards per game or things like that, the truth is, what matters at the end? The scoreboard. So I tend to look at the points allowed per game. Now, before I give you the bottom third, the best in the league last year, the top five in points allowed, in this order: Seahawks, Bengals, Chiefs, Broncos, Vikings. Okay? Each one of those teams held their opponents to 19 points or fewer in a game. So here are the bottom third of the worst. And I want to know if you think any of these teams have a chance of climbing out of the bottom third. Okay? So this is bad. The Saints, the Jags, the Giants, the Browns, and Eagles. They're the bottom five. Then the next five: Titans, Bucks, Colts, Ravens, Lions. I don't know. The Saints' defense is atrocious.
Also,
that's why the Ryan brothers have been reunited.
Irrelevant to what they do. You know, I mean, I think actually the Saints, because they play on the turf, they have the offense. I think the Saints might be able to bounce back. I kind of like the Giants to be able to bounce back as well. At least compete maybe for a playoff spot. Remember that?
I'm just saying, I just want to know if you think somebody can get out of the bottom third. Because I know it's the sexy pick, but I think it's the Jags. I think they continue to get better on defense, and if they don't have somebody go down in training camp, like what has happened to them so much frequently,
right,
where they lose somebody, that's what, and I'm not calling, you know, is Jacksonville a wild card team? Probably not. I do think they'll be in the discussion in early December, provided that nobody big goes down, but I think they can get out of the bottom of it. They continue to invest money in the defense, which I think in the AFC South is pretty smart of them. You think the Giants can get better?
Yeah, I like what the Giants did. I like Eli Apple a lot, their first-round pick. I think that's a good fit at cornerback. I expect him to make an impact. I also think that Darian Thompson at safety, their third-round pick out of Boise State, can be a guy that helped them. I think they shored up the backfield, which is something that they needed to do. I think they'll be a little bit better. I think they could get at least out of that bottom third for sure. Jaguars are interesting. I guess with them, I see everything you're saying, and I guess I agree with it, but I just feel like I've watched that movie before, and Jacksonville needs to do it before I'm going to get
it. Yeah, that's what it is for you. You're sitting back saying, I've their name is preceding them.
It is. It is.
You know? Their reputation, and it's a bad one, is preceding them. The team that put a pool in at their stadium to lure fans is preceding them. The team that folks believe could wind up in London.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I like a lot of the moves that they've done. Now, will it all click? I don't know.
448 points surrendered. That was dead last in the AFC and by a significant margin. Even the Browns were.
The Browns were better than that.
Now, their point differential was worse because their offense was atrocious. Jacksonville actually has a serviceable offense.
Well, yeah, but the problem was you had Blake Bortles as, like, if you were a fantasy guy, you loved it because he was getting garbage points in the fourth quarter trying to bring them back.
A lot of empty
yards. How the Allens did so well at wide receiver, Robinson and Hurns, is because we had all those yards happening in the second half and in some cases happening specifically in the fourth quarter. I think the Jags can get better. I'm not saying they're going to jump to the top third, but I don't think we'll see Jacksonville in the bottom third this year. I think they will come out of it.
That's going to be an interesting division, actually, on the whole.
AFC South?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about, of course, the addition of Brock Osweiler in Houston. Now, will he be worth the money they're paying him? My guess is,
not
quite
in year
frankly,
one.
Certainly not this year. I mean, he is basically still, for when you talk about real-time games, essentially a rookie.
Yeah.
And you have a Colts team that should get dramatically better simply by the return of Andrew Luck. It single-handedly makes that team 3 to 4 games better.
Yes.
So that's going to be a fascinating
story. Defense
is
still bad, but we'll see if it manages to get any better. Hey, we were talking with Kevin Nogel about happy hour. It's time for Sam Adams Know Your Beer. Great beer is a battle between hops and malt. Too much hops, it's too bitter. Too much malt, too sweet. The only way to win is balance, like Sam Adams Boston Lager, hops and malt in perfect harmony. Had a chance to preview and see what was going on at camp with the Cleveland Browns. Did the same thing with the Miami Dolphins. If you missed any part of that, of course, podcastarena.com. You can find the show. Sean and I here in Denver, very excited because we're going to go out to a Broncos camp, as we have been after the shows. But the difference is today it's not 427 degrees.
Yes, and my sunburn appreciates that.
Your sunburnt head is really... It's almost like your head is constantly blushing.
Yeah.
Like something embarrassing
and
has happened.
It feels worse than it looks.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, it stings.
You're going to put a hat on?
Yes.
That'd be smart.
Yeah.
Might want to think about that.
Like from now on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, you need to have a favorite that you just never take off.
Oh, I did that through all my 20s. Now I'm going the other way. Everyone just has to deal with the glare. It's not my problem anymore.
Sell a sponsorship.
You my agent now?
Well, I'm just saying we should get one. We should have a sponsor on, like Sam Adams. You should have a Sam Adams hat on.
That'd work.
And then when we shoot our videos for 5280 Sports Network, you could have the Sam Adams hat on.
Call me.
Boston Beer Company, give us a shout. Coming up, Mighty Gwen. For Sean Drotar, I'm Nate Lundy. This is SB Nation Radio.